This series is actually based on our theme for the year, which is Into the Deep. We want to go deeper with God. We want to have a deeper worship experience with God. We want to have deeper fellowship with God. We want to have a deeper understanding of God's word. We just want to go deep with God. We're tired of wading in shallow waters. Amen. We're tired of just paddling and staying afloat. We want to go deeper with God, because the deeper with God, the more his blessings begin to flow in our lives. Are you following me? The more transformation take place, the more healing and deliverance we experience, the more lives we touch when we go deeper into the things of God. So this morning, I actually had some photos I was going to show you, but we didn't get a chance to set those up correctly from our deep sea fishing trip, because that's the title of today's message, deep sea fishing. If you look at your notes, you'll see that the C is just the letter C, because we want to point out five C's today about what we need to do to get deeper with God. So I kind of wanted to show you guys a visual. Maybe we'll have it set up next week so you guys can see the men and the boys out there on the boat fishing. But this morning I want to talk to you of a message entitled Deep Sea Fishing. Who wants to go fishing with me this morning? Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And we'll be reading just down to verses 1 through 11. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. Just to kind of set the stage, this is what's going on in Jesus' ministry, to kind of bring you up to par. Jesus had gone to be baptized by John the Baptist. He's baptized in water and he's baptized in spirit. He's operating in the spirit now. And then he went through the 40 days of fasting in the desert, and he was being tempted by Satan. And now he's setting off to launch officially his 3.5-year mission here on the earth. So this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry here. And then look at what happens when we find ourselves. Chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night long and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.' And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken." Verse 10, "And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men.'" Verse 11, "So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him." Listen, 5 points we're going to make this morning, that if we want to go deeper, we must first hear the calling. If we want to go deeper, we must heed the commandment. If we want to go deeper, we must hang the confession. If we want to go deeper, we must inherit the commission. And if we want to go deeper, we must have the commitment. Amen. Amen. First of all, the Bible says that the multitude pressed about him. Now, a multitude is a mixed group of people. They're not any particular class. They're not of any particular ethnic groups or anything. It's just a multitude. There's a mixed bag of nuts, so to speak. It's just a multitude of people. There's a crowd of people that are pressing in, and they're pressing in to do what? To hear the word of the Lord. Mixed multitude. There's a lot of people that are interested in the word of the Lord, even if they're not committed to it. They still want to know what it says. You watch CNN, you see Piers Morgan. He interviews preachers all the time to kind of put them on the hot spot to see how they respond and react to certain cultural situations that are going on. And so they're interested in to seeing what they had, the word of the Lord has to say. Whether they agree with it is a whole another thing. Whether they're willing to succumb to it or to submit to it, that's a whole another thing. See, people often, throughout the scriptures, you see that they often tested Jesus the same way Piers Morgan tests the pastors or his guests. Are you following me? To kind of catch them in a trap, to catch them in their words, to put them on the hot seat or so. So the multitudes will always gather in some way, shape, or form to hear the word of the Lord. Listen, whenever you put a post on Facebook, you share a scripture or some type of infographic about a scripture, you'll get a whole lot of amens and hallelujahs. A lot of people will like what you posted because they like what the word of the Lord actually has to say. But like I said, whether they're willing to submit to what it has to say is a whole nother arena altogether. Let's say, oh, that sounds good. Oh, that's beautiful. That's wonderful. Amen. Hallelujah. But then in the next breath, you'll see them doing something totally contradicting the word of God. So it said that the multitude were gathered together. There was a mixed company. But this is what I like what Jesus did, because this is kind of an inspiration for everything that we do in the way of how we utilize the technology and the things, the means that are available for us to press the gospel out to the world. I talked about how we have the telephone app, the mobile app, that we can use to press the gospel out into the world. We're doing exactly what Jesus did. The Bible said that Jesus climbed into the boat, pushed out a little bit. He positioned himself so that more people can hear the message that he was saying. Amen? You understand how, you see the tie-in? See, we do things on the internet. We have a Facebook page. We have Instagram and all those things. But they all are for one singular purpose: to make the word of God more available to those who are interested. You see why we make this type of investment in anything that we do, why we record the messages over here each day, because some folks can't make it here, and we want them to have access to that at some point in time so that they can go back and hear what the word of the Lord is saying here at Relevant Church. So we're kind of taking the heart of Jesus. When he pushed out into the boat, he said, I must get a little bit in a position myself so that more people could hear what I have to say. Why would he do that? Because the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, he said that God is not slack concerning his promise, as men count slackness. But his desire is that all men should be drawn to repentance. That means that God wants to give everyone a chance to hear this word, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He doesn't desire for anybody to perish. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Are you following me? He wants everybody to exist with him, to join him in eternity. Are you following me? So what he does is he pushes out so that more people can hear. Listen, until the whole world hears. Are you following me? So that's Jesus's that's his MO. That's what he wants to do. And that should be the same heart that we have. We want the whole world to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the reason that we do anything that we do. Are you following me? There's a reason that we gather in here in this place, so that we can be equipped, so that we can be encouraged, that we can be strengthened, so that we can go out into all the world and tell anyone who will listen, anyone who will give us an ear about the goodness of Jesus Christ. Are you following me? So this is what Jesus is doing. He wants everyone to hear. He calls all. If we want to go deeper, we must hear the calling. But then if we want to go deeper, we must heed the commandment. The Bible said when he stopped speaking. In other words, when church was over, he had some commandments to observe. See, it's good for us to come to hear the word at church. It's good for us to hear the tape or to watch the video, but after we watch the video, after we receive the information, there's a commandment that goes along with what we've heard. Listen, I tell the young people that I mentor all the time, listen, be careful, because once you hear this, now you become responsible for it. See, it's one thing to be ignorant. That means you just didn't know. And a lot of the mistakes we make in life are simply because we just didn't know. But when we know better, we should do better. Once we know a thing, now we've taken it from sin to transgression. See, a transgression is when you know what you shouldn't be doing, but you continue to do it anyway. Oh, that's called rebellion. Are you following me? See, we can sin just because we didn't know something was a sin. Oh, my bad. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do that. But then I got into the Word, and the Word said, hey, I need to watch my mouth. Okay, let me do that. Because sweet water and sour water shouldn't come from the same sprout. You understand? Unedifying speech should not come out of my mouth. Oh, wow, I should clean up my speech. So we become into a knowledge of things, and the more we come into it, see, this is why you have to go deeper with God. This is how you got to get off the surface, and you got to get down really into the thing, really get down into His Word. Are you following me? Because then you start to see some corrective action take place. Amen. See, it's okay for us to come as we are. We just don't expect to stay that way. When we get into the Word, because the Word changes us. Paul told the church in Rome, he said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means that your life is going to change as your thinking starts to change, because your thinking will be impressed upon by the Word of God. So he says, listen, he said, after church is over, there's a command to observe. The commandment was to launch out into the deep. Some of us are struggling in life because we're spending too much time in shallow waters. You know, when you were young and you learned how to swim, if some of us don't know how to swim yet, but those of us that don't know how to swim, we're missing out. Can anybody that's been on the deep end attest to the fact that if you don't know how to swim and all you can do is get your feet wet in the shallow end, you're missing out. You're not getting on no high dives. Can I get an amen for the high dive at Brookside Park in Pasadena by the Rose Bowl? The high dive is about 20 feet up. Boy, I couldn't wait to get on the high dive, but I had to get out the shallow end in order to get on the high dive and experience jumping into that pool that was about 15, 16 feet deep. Woo! It even looks prettier on the deep end. It's a deep blue. You understand? You can't really see the bottom. It's that deep blue. See, a lot of us, we're in the shallow waters. We're just coming to church, going through the motions. We punch our clock, and then we go home. Oh, I went to church today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What was the message? I don't really know, but it was a good time. Whatever. We did that. We're on the shallow end. God has impressed upon us. Some of us have ministries in our heart that God wants to expand upon, but we can't move because we're too scared to get out of the shallow end. See, when he says launch into the deep, the implication is launch out into the area that's a little less comfortable. Launch out to the area that's a little bit more risk involved in it. You understand? Launch out to the deep, because see, there you're going to need me more than you need me now. You understand? See, as long as you stay in the shallow end, you know, everything is fine and dandy. But when I tell you to launch out into the deep, now we're talking about something that's risky. Launch out to the deep. Start a church in North Fontana. But Lord, I read the books, and they say that you have to have at least 10 families working and doing all this, and they're participating. You need this X amount of dollars to do this. You need someone over to this. God said, launch out into the deep and start with what you have. But wait a minute, I got some personal stuff going on. You know, my personal financial play ain't in the right place. Lord, wait, can we just put this thing off until we get straight on our feet? Lord, launch out into the deep. You understand? God is calling this church to launch out into the deep. You understand what I'm saying? It's calling us to reach more lives. Amen? So he's calling us to launch out to the deep. But look what Simon said. Simon said, but Master, we've toiled all night long and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your will, let it be done. Amen? Listen, you got to understand what's going on. Now, Simon's a fisherman. This is Peter. Simon is a fisherman by trade. Jesus is a carpenter. So the carpenter is telling the fisherman how to fish. So you can imagine what's going on through Simon Peter's mind. He's saying, man, you know, this timing, the timing in the eyes I have there, that the timing was inconvenient. Listen, this is not a good time for me. I've been up all night fishing all night. Lord, I'm tired. I need to go take a nap. I need to take a break. So this is inconvenient. Do we need to go right now? You don't understand. We've been out all night and nothing happened. The timing was inconvenient, and then it was inconsistent. This was not the time to fish. So these are the things that's going through Peter's mind. He said, this is not the time for fish. Time for fishing was last night, and you weren't there, and we were, and now we're tired. So now is the time to mend our nets, to fix our nets, to put away our gear, because we didn't get the results that we were expecting, so we just hang up the towel. You following me? We didn't get the results. We kept trying and trying, but we didn't get the results, so we just threw in the towel. We just quit. Lord, we did all we know to do. But what do you do when you don't know what to do? You do what the Lord told you to do. You understand? When you don't know what to do, then you just do what the Lord told you what to do, right? Notice I said what the Lord told you to do. See, you got, don't miss that. When you don't know what to do, you do what the Lord told you to do, and then you keep doing it. But it has to be the Lord telling you to do it. Amen. You have to confirm that this is the Lord speaking to me. Listen, we got all these movies and books, people writing these books about how a little girl and a little boy talk to God and all these things and you know, whatever. But people talking to God. But I don't know. As long as it's consistent with what he says, then we don't have a problem. But you better watch out when you're a little girl. I talk to God or whatever. It sounds real cute and dandy. But when she starts saying things that don't line up with the word of God, now we have a problem. Everything that the Lord tells us to do through a dream or a vision should be consistent with what he's already said. You understand? Or else you find yourself drinking Kool-Aid and wearing tennis shoes waiting for a Hellbop comment. It happened before. Drinking Kool-Aid, Jim Jones used the Kool-Aid juice. They were drinking the juice because they were listening to a word from God that wasn't consistent with God's word. Got to be careful for these prophets. Some folks are just prophesying. They're not prophesying. You understand what I'm saying? So whenever somebody comes, I have a word for the Lord for you. It's a word for you, for the Lord, and it's justly for you. You know, out in the parking lot, they call them parking lot prophets. I got a word for the Lord from you. Oh, it's really, you have a word for the Lord from me? It's fine. You don't have to be rude. You listen to it, whatever. But I advise you to take that thing and put it on the shelf. Don't run with it too quickly. A lot of folks say, hey, oh, the prophet spoke, and then I ran with it, and I did this, and you're all outside of God's will. Because you didn't test it against the word of God. You didn't test it with words. Listen. Here is my philosophy, Sister Francis. God knows where I live at.
Amen.
God wouldn't send my mail to your address. Me and God talk regularly on a daily basis. He did not send a word through you for me. And if he does, then it's only confirming what he's already told me, Sister Cheryl. You see, God sends a confirming word to let you know you're not crazy. You understand? Lord, man, you told me to do this. Oh, Lord, I need some help. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. So when he tells Sister Cheryl to tell me a thing, it's because he wanted another witness to confirm what he's already said. Now we're cooking with hot grease. Now we're working with something because the mouth of two or three, Sister Cheryl said it, and then Sister Diane said it, and I heard it in a vision from the Lord. Say, oh, Lord, that's supposed to be the thing that you want me to do. Thank you for the confirmation. But if it's totally out of the blue, you better put that thing on the shelf. Don't try to go spend that money right there. You don't want to spend that money. It's going to cost you. When in doubt, When you doubt what God is telling you, do what God is telling you. You follow me? Sometimes you're going to have doubts about what God is telling you. Sometimes those doubts, but don't let those doubts become disbelief. It's natural. It's human nature to doubt God. Man, you don't really want to use me. I'm not worthy. I'm a man of unclean lips, said one of the prophets. You don't want to. Moses said, I don't speak well. So there's going to be a sense of that that's going to come. But don't let the devil turn that into an insecurity. Because, see, God does not care about your ability as much as he cares about your availability. The Bible said, whom he calls, he qualifies. He doesn't call the qualified. He usually calls the unqualified. Because, see, the qualified will want to take the glory for whatever success that takes place. See, but when you're unqualified, they said, when the same Peter came out from the temple, they saw, he said, these guys must have been with Jesus. But wait a minute, they're unlearned. They haven't been to seminary. They're unlearned people, but they're operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, and transformation is taking place. But who gets the credit, Peter or God? Woo! That's good stuff. I like what he says to Peter. He said, let down your net. He didn't say, let down your neighbor's net. You understand? He didn't say, go take these guys' net and then do it. He said, let down your net. Let out your ministry. You can't do someone else's ministry. You need to do the ministry that I placed inside of you. Listen, young people, be you. But be the you that God's called you to be. Do your ministry. Whatever gifting God has given you, you use it to the glory of God. You don't have to be somebody else. God created you to be different. He created you to be who you are. So you may be different. You may have your own personality. You may have your own swag, your own style or whatever. But we all have the same responsibility to glorify God with whatever it is that we do. You understand what I'm saying? So he's telling Peter, let down your net. What is God calling you to do? What net is God calling you to cast? Whatever it is, cast it. Now is the time to go deeper. He said, and then when they had done this, they caught a great multitude of fish, and their net was breaking. We are blessed when we do. We are blessed when we do. James said, be doers of the word, not just hearers only. In Luke 11:28, Jesus said, he was talking about doubting Thomas. When Thomas said, let me see the marks on your body, I need to see to believe. Jesus said, listen, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word and keep it. He said, blessed are those that hear the word. I'm sorry, I mixed up my scriptures. He said, blessed are those that heed the word and then keep it. You hear the word and now you keep the word. You actually do what the word says. Amen. You understand? Like I said before, you're on Facebook, you can like it, you can share it, you can comment or whatever. But at the end of the day, are you going to do what the word says? Are you going to do what the word says? Simon Peter says, listen, we've been out all night, Lord, and nothing's happened. But nonetheless, at your word, we'll give it a try. He said, it doesn't make sense to me to go out at night. I'm tired and I don't really feel like doing it. I'm ready to go home and have a sandwich or something and kick back and watch the game. But at your word, because you said it, I'll do it. That's all we need. When God said it, we'll do it. Because he blesses the doers of his word, not just the hearers only. If all you do is hear the word, you'll just be a fat rat. You know, none of you have done this, but we've had people come to the church, say, hey, man, we're looking for a church, man, because I'm just not getting fed at the church. I need to go. I am not getting fed. Well, that's a red light for me. When folks say, well, I'm not getting fed. Okay, you're not getting fed. Because immediately what goes through my mind is maybe you're eating too much. You see, at some point, see, the Bible, as big as it is, there's only so many things in there. Are you following me? So if you've been in church long enough, been in church for a portion of your life, you're going to hear almost every message that you possibly can hear. But the Bible said, but faith come by hearing and hearing. So it doesn't hurt to hear it over and over and over again, because some of us hear it and never do it. So you need to keep hearing until you do it. So at some point, you're going to hear everything. You're going to be able to fit in the pastor's word, what he's going to say next, so I can see where he's going and things like that. At that point, you should become a teacher of the word. You need to stop eating and start preparing the meals and feeding others. And that's why you feel dissatisfied, because you're a dead sea. Stuff is being poured into you, but you have no outlets. You're not serving, you're not teaching, you're not utilizing what you know, so you feel fat and bloated. And that's why, I'm not being fed. No, you're being overfed. Now it's time for you to do some feeding so that you can really experience. But see, this is what I'm talking about. You got to go deeper with God. You have to go deeper, because you need to start feeding. Listen, we're in the process of raising money so that we can get a building that belongs to us. Amen? And I'm very excited about that. That excites me. I you know, especially... because I'm one of the setup crew members. And this morning we came out and all the tables were laid out, so we had to move all of the tables just to get the chairs in. So that throws us off 20 or 30 minutes when we're trying to set up. So I'm very excited about that. But I'm not so excited about building a building if we're not going to build lives with the building. Quite frankly, if we continue to do just what we're doing here, there, then there's no sense of us having a building. Now is the time for us to start doing the things that we want the building so that we can do. Are you following me? Now is the time that the ministry that God has placed in your heart to utilize, to serve in this ministry, and now is the time for you to start planting those seeds to do that ministry. Right now. Not next week. Today. It's the time for you to get your stuff together and say, God, you placed it in my heart to meet with some young teenage mothers. You placed the ministry in my heart. You've given me a heart for these young teenage mothers. I need to start that ministry. Maybe I can start meeting with them at Panera Bread on Tuesday nights. Start the ministry. Are you following me? You see how the thing works? See, we got to stop asking God to bless what we do and start doing what he blesses. You see that? We see this when people get married all the time. They marry a guy without asking God, should they marry the person? And then after they marry the person, then they want God to bless the marriage. See, you do it the other way around. See, young ladies, you guys ain't married yet, right? Okay. But you know that when you decide to get married, right, that you're going to bring that guy to your church and let everybody check him out, especially your pastor. You're not going to run off and marry him and then bring him, ooh, look at my husband. Yeah. No, you're going to bring him to church and let us all check him out. Your church family, we're going to check him out. Okay, that's cool. Well, we roll with him. You understand what I'm saying? See, we got to stop asking God to bless what we're doing, because sometimes we're doing stuff that God simply does not bless. Sometimes we're doing things that are outside of his will and outside of his purpose. And we say, oh, God, will you bless this for me? God said, no, I'm not blessing that. That's not my character. I don't want to have nothing to do with that. Are you following me? So we got to start doing that. So listen, he said, blessed are those that hear the word and do. And then James said, we need to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. But the commandment, friends, this commandment to go out to the deep, the commandment comes with the catch. And guess what the catch is? I love God's vision. Listen, you ever want to know if you have a vision from God? One of the sure ways to know that you have a vision that comes from God is that you're not the only one that's going to be blessed by it. God won't give you a vision to be a multimillionaire if it's just for you to have a nice house, a nice car, and all that stuff. If God wants you, if God gives you a vision, a million-dollar invention or idea, it's so that you can use those millions of dollars or whatever it is that you earn to be a blessing to other people. Are you following me? The vision that God gives you is always going to bless beyond you. Listen, it's like the water that runs through the pipe. The water runs through the pipe, but sure, the pipe will still get wet. Listen, you're going to get some of the blessing. But you got to make sure that the blessing moves forward. We say it all the time. We are blessed to be a blessing. That's what God's blessing is all about. That's where the blessing comes. So he said, look what it said in Luke 5:7. He says, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come. And then they came and they filled both boats. They needed some partners. They needed some companions. Some road dogs. Someone with like-minded passion. Someone with like-minded skills. To come alongside them, to help them with the vision and the blessing that God was pouring out on them. But I tell you guys all the time, I'm not going to build this church by myself. I'm not, just simply cannot do it. I'm not going to try. Oh, you follow me? Yeah. So if you guys aren't going to help, then I as well just stop right now and go somewhere where I can. You know what I'm saying? So God always wants the vision to be shared. Because then the blessing is shared. It said they called their partners. Look at this word. I like the word that's partners. It's metekos. It sounded to me like it's saying my tacos. And you know I like tacos. But the word is metekos, so or my tacos. So I need my tacos to come alongside to help me to carry the blessing. God says, you know when the Bible says, I will pour out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive? That's what he's saying. He said, I'll open up the windows and pour out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. In other words, you don't have hands that are big enough to handle the blessing that I have for you. You don't have a container that's big enough to contain the blessing that I want to pour into your lives. That's why you're not just filled with my spirit, you're spilled with my spirit. The spirit should just spill over you unto others. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. See, God is always a God of more than enough. Jesus said in John 10:10, I came that you might have life and have life more abundantly. I didn't come for you just to get by. I didn't come for you to just scrape through. I didn't come for you to just struggle through this life. I didn't come for you to go to hell on your way to hell. I came for you to have a blessed life and to have a blessed life more abundantly. More than you can hope, think, or imagine, I can do more than that. But you have to have a mindset that's willing to share the blessing. The more you share the blessing. See, we get with God, we get blessed by God a lot of times, and we're like this. God said, I want you to be like this. I want the blessing to flow through you. It comes, it hits your hands, and then it's going out the other way. Are you following? Because I can keep the blessing. He said, if I can get the blessing through you, I'll keep the blessing. I'll keep the blessing coming to you. The Bible said he provides seed to the sower. And he who refreshes will himself be refreshed. So that's the mindset that we have to have. If we want to go deeper with God, we got to heed this thing. We got to understand that we need to be a blessing at all times, looking for ways to bless people. Yeah. We should wake up in the morning, even though I don't have much, Lord, just give me a way to bless somebody today. Just give me anything that I have. Just show me a way to be a blessing to other people. I promise you, I guarantee you, because it's in his word. That he said he will bless you if you are a blessing type of person. He provides seed to the sower. But if you're not sowing, you're not getting no seed. See, our minds are so twisted. We read the parable of the talents. You know the parable of the talents? The master was going away. He gave one of the guys 5 talents, another guy 2 talents, and another guy 1 talent. See, the world got our minds so screwed up. We think that the master did the 1 talent guy wrong. You guys know the story. He gave the 5 talents, and the guy with the 5 talents went and made 5 more talents. The guy with the 2 talents went and made 2 more talents. The guy with the 1 talent buried it. Now, come think of me in a business sense. If you're a businessman and you're making an investment, And the person that's your investor, your financial advisor, when they come back and they give you, they say, hey, I doubled your money, that's a good thing. But the other financial advisor, the second guy, he said, I doubled your money, that's a good thing. Another guy said, you know what, I didn't put your money anywhere where it could do any good, so I just want to give you back what you gave me. You missed the point. Because the Bible said that he took the one from the guy with the one, and that's where we had a problem. Because why are you taking from the poor guy? Why, that's not right. The guy, those guys have five. Why are you taking? He's taking from him. The reason he don't have because his mind is messed up. Some folks are poor because they have a poor mindset. Some people are poor because they don't have a giving spirit. All they do is take and take and take. Oh, I heard the church having lunch today. Let me go down there and get some lunch. They don't pick up no chairs. Some folks, all they do is bounce around and take and take and take. Oh, this church is giving away this. That church is, oh, I got to do, do, do. Now, all they do is just take and take and take. And you wonder why they never have anything. Then you see other people that all they do is give and give and give. You say, wow, they're always giving. And they always have something to give because their mindset is totally different. Say, Lord, some people say, oh, I can't afford to do this. Say, I can't afford not to do this. I cannot afford not to be a blessing to you. I cannot afford to give into the ministry like you want me to give. I can't afford not to. Ooh, my, my, my. We need partners. A partner, a metekos, is one who shares in a companion, one who shares in an enterprise or undertaking. This was an undertaking in a literal sense. The Bible said that they had so much that the boat was about to sink. And they started getting afraid. It was about to sink. The blessing, see, the blessing can come a curse, can become a curse if we don't share it with others. You know how many folks have more money than you can even fathom? Listen to one pastor this week. He was trying to quantify how much money Bill Gates has. If Bill Gates has a net worth of $320 billion, now billion is 100 million, right? So he was like, well, you know, Bill Gates could give away $1 billion, $100 billion at the drop of a hat and still have $319 billion left. Now we can't even fathom that type of riches. But just because a person has riches doesn't mean that they have joy. That's right. Amen. Listen, you don't see a lot of poor people commit suicide, do you? Poor person lose their house, get evicted or whatever, they just go find another house. We seen it not too long ago. I don't want to make it a laughing matter, but there's a coincidence there. The people that had a whole lot and lost a whole lot, lost their mind. Killed everybody. Oh, I lost my job. Life is over. Really? Poor people, you know, we get another house, brother. We get another car, just wait a little while. It would be all right. You know what I'm saying? See, poor people. See, we don't understand that sometimes when we grow up not having much and learning how to do with little, that's a blessing in disguise. That way when the famine comes, we know how to get by. See, the people that had it all, they're going to be looking to the people that didn't have it and say, how do you make that cornbread again with no corn and no bread? Now all of a sudden you become the rich man because you have the knowledge. You can get by. You can make stuff stretch. They don't even fathom that. Like, wait a minute. Where's the cook? The blessing can become a curse. You can think you have so much money and think that all of a sudden because you have money and you've been blessed to have this lifestyle or whatever that you forget God. See, how often do riches take away from God? Listen, I preached it before, a message. If you ain't got Jesus, you ain't got nothing. I don't care how much you have in the bank. If you ain't got Jesus, you ain't got nothing. And I'm glad to tell you that because you need to get Jesus. Well, whatever you have, you add Jesus to it, that's going to make it so much more better. You understand what I'm saying? Whatever you think you have, you need just, all you got to do is ask you. Jesus isn't mad that you have stuff. Jesus is not mad that you have money. Jesus is not mad that you have nice cars and things like that. Jesus is not mad, oh, look at them, they can't say. No, no. He said, just don't let that become a distraction. Listen, the kingdom of God needs people with money.
Amen.
Because kingdom business ministry costs money. I haven't tried it yet, y'all, but maybe I should try it. Well, next time we have to pay our rent on this facility, I'm going to say, well, you know, God got it covered. We're not going to send a check in today. See what happens. If we don't send that check, that door won't be open on Saturday morning. You understand what I'm saying? So you need people who have the right mindset, who have the kingdom mindset on their mind, and who have assets and the ability to sow into the kingdom to make sure that the kingdom work gets done. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? Listen, if we want to go deeper, we must hang the confession. The Bible said when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Listen, the blessing of God should always call us to worship. The blessing should drive us to God, not drive us away from God. Oh, I'm blessed to be in this new relationship. This is the man of my dreams. It's the woman of my dreams. But she doesn't like to go to church on Sunday. Not a blessing. Oh, man, I wanted this promotion at the job, but now I can't go to church and I can't do what I want to do. It may not be a blessing. Because it may be driving you away from the blesser. See, we ask the question sometimes, they say, well, why do all these bad people, so many good things that happen? They have riches, they have money. That's because the devil not messing with them. The devourer don't care if they go. The devourer wants them to have all the riches and all the wealth so that they can propagate their mindsets and their ideologies onto people. And, you know, because when people have money, people tend to listen to what they have to say. They don't know nothing about the Word of God. You don't go to Lady Gaga and ask her what the Word of God says. You want a new dance move or something, or how to be naked, then you can talk to Gaga. But when you want to go to when you want something from the Word of God, you got to go to the Word of God to get it. You understand what I'm saying? So the enemy says, go ahead, be rich, have all the fame, have all the media attention, have all of these followers. That's fine. You understand how that works? So, but look here, he says, Peter says, listen, he fell at Jesus' feet. He said, depart from me, I am a sinful man. The blessing of God should call us to a place of worshiping God. And then what he does is he confesses his sin. He said, I am a sinner. See, the closer we get to God and see all that he is, then we start to realize all that we're not. And that's the place of humility. We come into God's presence and you say, man, God, you're so awesome. God, thank you for doing that. Lord, thank you for blessing me. And the blessing just showed me how little I am, but how much you love me anyway. See, in their own sight, they were grasshoppers. The Joshua and the spies said, in our sight, they were grasshoppers in their sight. But God says, I don't see you as grasshoppers. I see you as giants in the faith. I don't see you as the sinner, because when I look at you, I have to look at Christ first. Because now you're covered by the blood. Are you folks? So when the blessing comes, it should call us to a place of humility. Oh God, I give you all the praise and all the glory for this blessing that you bestowed upon me. Lord, I thank you for the new job. Lord, I thank you for the new house. I thank you for the new relationship, for the new husband, for the new wife. I thank you for all that you've blessed me with. See, we got to get out of this thing of thanking God for something we're not willing to worship him with. Don't thank God for the car if you're not going to use it to glorify him. If the car is going to keep you from going to church because now you got transportation to go at other places. See, you was coming to church when you had a ride to church. You had to get a ride. You was with the person. But when you got your old car, all of a sudden, well, you know, maybe I don't go to church today. I want to go to the beach. I hit church up next time. Oh, well, next week, you know, I want to go to the mall. So-and-so called me. So now you riding all over the place. Woo, woo, woo. Hey, but you're on Facebook. Ooh, the Lord blessed me with this new car. But your car ain't been to church. We want to see it. Do we get to see the new car? I'm just trying to keep it real. If I had $5 for everybody that said, "Pastor, when I get a car, man, I'm going to come to church," that when they got the car, they still ain't see. I just smile, okay. Because the truth is, if you're not trying to make it now, that car ain't going to get you there. Car going to get you every other place that you want to go. I just have a personal philosophy that people get where they want to go. I seen it happen. I seen people getting places like, man, how did you get? They done got to Vegas. They done got to Hawaii. How you get? They get where they want to go. Listen, buddy, it's a church right down the street from your house. You don't have to come to Relevant Church to get the word of God. There's great churches all over the place. See, you don't have a car, that explains maybe why you're not at Relevant Church, but what about the church down the street from your house that you can walk to? You understand? Oh, you know, nothing that special going on over here. Same God that's here could be the same God that's over there. Amen? The Bible says that the goodness of God leads us to repentance, not repulsion. God does something good in our lives. It calls us to a point of confession like Peter. Peter worships God. He drops to his knees. He said, "Lord, I'm not worthy of the blessing that you bestow upon me. I'm not worthy of it." It calls us to, the Bible said that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. Listen, this speaks to the folks that say that the goodness of God leads me to keep doing whatever I want to do. But it's God's goodness and it's God's love. God loves me, so I'm going to continue in my lifestyle. I'm continue to do what I want to do. And that's because God loves me. He gives me free reign to do it. You mind your business. Stop judging me. You know the folks like that, right? Don't judge me. You know God loves me. Don't judge me. Everything. No. When we look at God's goodness, it leads us to repent. God is so good that when we get into his goodness, we say, "Man, I'm not worthy. Man, I don't deserve this. Oh, Lord, I just want to give you praise and glory for everything that you've done for me. Thank you for my shoes. Thank you for my feet." Listen. I once heard a man complain that he had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? So you can complain a lot with, "Man, I don't have any shoes," but ask the man who has no feet how he feels about that. Oh, my. So you start to praise God and you start to worship him and you start to repent. Like Peter said, Peter started to repent of all of his sin. He said, "Lord, come into my heart, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. Lord, I'm not right. I don't deserve it. Lord, I'm just in your presence and I want to repent for everything that I've ever done in my life, Lord." It draws us nearer, not drives us further. When we see how good he is, it should remind us how good we are. Listen, we don't deserve his presence, but our confession of sin allows us access according to 1 John 1 and 9. Said that we confess our sins one to another. He is faithful to forgive us, and then he sets us back in the seat of righteousness. He dusts us off. He said, "Okay, I got you covered. The blood has covered your sin, my son, my daughter. Now you're back in the righteousness. Now we can have fellowship, unbroken fellowship, unbridled fellowship like never before because your sin has." You can't just come to God any old way. You can't come to God in a sinful state and stay in a sinful state and expect to have an audience with his presence. You can't do that. The Bible said that he can't even look upon sin. Said he can't even look upon sin. He can't even see you when you come in a sinful state and you stay that way. He said, "I provided a place for you to get cleansed. It's called the altar of sacrifice. I provided a place for you to be clean. It's called the bronze laver where you wash off what you were doing." He said, "I called up, and now after you've done that, now you can come into my presence behind the veil where we can have unbroken fellowship." As long as there is unconfessed sin in your life, then the fellowship is broken. The communication is a barrier between you and God because you have this sin. And you have to lay aside those sins so you can come into the presence of God and have unbroken fellowship. If we want to be deeper with God, we must hang the confession. Where do we hang the confession? We hang it at the cross. Look at the picture. The Bible said that Peter comes to Jesus and he gets down on his knees before Jesus, at the feet of Jesus, and then he confesses that he's a sinner. That's what we have to do. We have to come to the feet of Jesus. Where the feet of Jesus? At the cross, where our sins can be forgiven. Amen. Are you following me? So we have to hang the confession at the cross of Jesus Christ. The Bible said that Peter saw and then he worshiped. This is a key point because Peter had to see before believing. Peter saw and then he worshiped. And that's fine, but the Bible tells us that we bless when we don't see and we still believe. See, there's a blessing when we don't see. The Bible said that we don't look at the things that are seen because the things that are seen are temporary, but we look at the things that are unseen because those things have eternal value. Amen? So we got to learn, when we go deeper with God, we have to learn how to see what we can't see. Playing with words. We have to learn how to see what we can't see. What we can't see in our natural minds, we have to be able to see it in our spiritual minds. Peter couldn't see in his natural mind how they were going to catch any fish, let alone two boatfuls of fish that were going to start to sink the boats. He couldn't see in his natural mind. But since he trusted what God was saying, and that's all God is ever saying, God said, listen, trust me even though you can't trace me. Oh, you follow me? Do what I tell you to do, even when you don't understand it, even when you don't get it all. Baby, that's called faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please me. You can't please God without faith. So there's all, the questions are never going to be totally answered. See, some folks are waiting for them to understand all the questions of the world before they decide whether they want to come to Christ or not. Listen, I promise you, none of all the questions won't ever be answered. Some of the questions you're going to take right to heaven with you. And I can appreciate that because I believe that God keeps the questions there in order to keep the faith involved. Because once you get all the answers to all the questions, Sister Diana, wouldn't that put you on equal standing with God? Right? If you knew everything that he knew, then you might get full of yourself and think that you were him, Lucifer. We need those questions because that keeps the faith. Listen. If God would have laid out the whole plan of Relevant Church, how this thing was going to go from the beginning, I probably said, no, thank you. Now, I don't want to go through that. I'll pass, Lord. I'm cool. Right? If God revealed the whole thing to us, the unfolding of our life before us, we'll throw in the towel. Man, I'm not going through that. But he knows the end from the beginning. We don't. So we need to have that faith in place. Listen, if we want to go deeper, we must inherit the commission. We're almost finished. He said, and Jesus said to him, Luke 5:10, he said, and Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. What I love about Jesus is that his teaching style was that he taught in a way that people could understand. He took something they knew to illustrate something they were going to do. They knew fishing. Now, this is where my pictures would have come in handy, so you can see how difficult it is and all the things that take place when you go fishing. Whether you're fishing off the lake, off a pier, or whether you're fishing deep sea fishing or whatever, there's a lot of stuff involved in fishing. You don't just go out there and just start catching fish. You have to have the right bait. You have to have the right tackle. You have to have the right poles. You know, you don't use a freshwater pole and a saltwater. It's not going to make you going to lose that thing. So there's some things. You got to know how to tie the knots and make sure everything, the weight, it has to be weighted. There's a lot of stuff. And then after you do all of that, I hope you guys are following me. After you send out the mailers, after you send out the e-vites, the emails, after you set up the sanctuary, you put out the chairs, you set up the sound, you did all of that, you did all of those things. After you prayed, after you set out and did all those things, you see the comparison. After you've done all of those things, now when you catch the fish, now the fun begins. Especially when you're deep sea fishing, see some of those fish, a lot of those fish come up, they're rockfish, scalping, they're poisonous. So they have parts of them that are poisonous. If you don't know how to handle them, then you may get stung and you may be on your way to the hospital to deal with this infection from this fish. Tastes real good, but you gotta catch it and then you have to clean it. You understand? You have to catch the fish. before you clean it. Jesus knew that these men would understand how difficult the task would be. He called these particular men. He didn't go to down to the synagogue and say, hey, rabbi, priest, oh, a couple scribes, come, I want you guys to follow me. He went to average, ordinary people who were hardworking, who knew what it was like to get dirty, to get filthy. See, at that time, it said that the rabbis, they like to pray in the streets. They like to wear their robes. They like to pray in the streets. When they fasted, they like to tell everybody, yeah, you know me and my church, we're on a 21-day Daniel fast. You go to lunch with your co-workers. Oh, I can't eat that because, you know, I'm fasting. You know, you look all spiritual to your co-workers and stuff. Jesus said, when you do that, there's your reward. Don't expect anything else. Congratulations. So that's why I don't do the Ash Wednesday thing. Put the ash on the forehead. You know, I used to have a co-worker. She put the ash on her forehead every year, but she lit like hell all the rest of the ash ain't doing nothing for you, is it? You're just wearing it to show everybody that you're a good Catholic saint. Okay, good. You understand what I'm saying? So he picked these men, these fishermen, that knew what it was like to get dirty, to get grimy. They knew the fact that you had to catch the fish before you clean the fish. See, one of the mistakes that we make, especially as we get seasoned, as we become seasoned saints, is we forget that you have to catch the fish before you clean the fish. We try to clean the fish before we even catch the fish. Baby, stop getting those tattoos. They're not even saved. Why not? It's the trend. Everybody's doing it. Why not? You got to stop by the bronze laver. This is why that teaching on the tabernacle was so good. You had to stop by the bronze laver. That's the place of sacrifice. That's the place where the marriage takes place when you give up your sinful life. And then you go to the bronze laver. I'm sorry, the bronze altar, the brazen altar, is the place where the sacrifice was made, where the sin was confessed. And then the next stage of the tabernacle was you go to the bronze laver. The cleaning place. You understand what I'm saying? See, a lot of time we like to take them to the cleaning place. Stop dressing like that. Stop talking like that. Stop doing this. Stop doing that because it irritates us. You're supposed to, you know, you got to get them to Jesus first. You get them to Jesus first. Baby, give your life to the Lord, and then you need to receive the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit's going to take care of the other stuff. The Holy Spirit's going to tell him, man, maybe I shouldn't get that tattoo on my neck that I was trying to get, because one day I'm going to have to apply for a job or to school, and I might not look that good when I go to the interview process. Everybody might not be comfortable with that. The Holy Spirit will reveal that to him, say, oh, okay. See, Lil Wayne got a job. Just talk to you young people. See, it's cool. Lil Wayne got a job. Matter of fact, that's his uniform. He's an entertainer. That's what he does. So he can tattoo his face, his neck, and eyeballs, whatever, do all that stuff. But the average brother can't do that. You decide you want to go to some prestigious school, and then your applicant, you're up against other applicants, and they take one load of you. Man, I don't know if you're going to fit into our university. Sorry, but you understand? Marshawn Lynch could blow off the media all he want. He got a job. Amen. But if you can't run the football like he can, you better start listening to those who have authority over you and be a little more respectful. You understand what I mean? Can't say amen. Say, hey, ouch. We want to go deeper. We must inherit the commission. Jesus said, now you're going to become fishers of men. This was the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19. It said, go out throughout all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching to observe the law, observe the word of God. So that's the Great Commission. We must inherit that commission. That commission wasn't just for those disciples, but the commission was to all of us because we're all disciples. And then lastly, if we want to go deeper, we must have the commitment. Oh, I love this part. The Bible said in Luke 5:11, said, after they got back to the shore, that they forsook all and followed him. They forsook all and followed him. Said they gave up everything to follow Jesus. Listen, God may not be calling us to give up everything. He may not be calling us to go and sell all of our possessions and to leave everything. But we should have a heart and a mind so so that if he did cause us to do it, we should be willing to do it. See, we have to forsake to follow, because Jesus said you can't serve two masters. Either you love one, hate the other, or you'll hate one and love the other. He said, you got to, what he's saying, right, what's being inferred here is that you have to prioritize correctly. That's what he's saying. When he talks about counting the cost of the disciples, he said, you must hate your father and mother. Now, if you read that on the surface, you say, wow, that's a weird thing for Jesus to say. But he was using that type of language because he knows that those are the closest relationships you have. Your father, your mother, your brother, your sister. You see what happened when his mother and his brothers came to try to get an audience with him. He said, no, you guys are my mother and brother. Mary didn't have any special treatment. You know, Mary came to the conference and she wanted to sit in the front. She said, go call Jesus so I can get my seat. Jesus said, baby, we don't have any reserved seating. I'm just paraphrasing. That's not really how it went down. But that's kind of the essence of what Jesus was saying. He's saying, listen, you got to love me so much that in comparison to your way you feel about me, all other relationships fall. All of the relationships actually, they look like hate compared to how much you love me. And that's what you have to do. That's what you have to consider when you follow me. But I love it how he cleaned it up in Matthew 6. He said that if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these other relationships will be taken care of. All these other things will be taken care of. So if you just get your priorities straight, you got to put me ahead of your mother and wife. Your mother and father. You got to put me ahead of your sister or brother. Are you following me? That's what the marriage covenant is about. A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. He said, put the covenant ahead of all other relationships. Because when you put that in order, all the other relationships will work themselves out. I'll be in it. Now you're not asking me to bless what you do. Now you're doing what I bless. Because you're in the right place. You're in right standing. The Bible said that they forsook all to follow him. And Jesus told Peter, don't be fearful. So we must forsake all. That means we must leave. We must prioritize to follow Jesus. And we can do so without fear. Amen? Amen. Give the Lord a hand praise as you stand to your feet. Amen.